Part 2. Kill, steal, and destroy. Kill, steal, murder, kill, steal, and destroy. Lie. Kill, steal. He was a liar from the beginning. I'm going to talk to you about the gerbil principle. That's what I call it. There have been experiments done in labs, and they take gerbils or mice or whatever sort of rodent they want to try these experiments on. And what they have found is that when you put them, a lot of the same sex or male and females together in a very small place, their hormones become elevated and they become sexually overactive. This is a biological principle. Hence, the institutional church where we get together and have a big crowd in an auditorium is not the principle that is illustrated in Scripture, for the very reason that God knew about this, and so did the devil, the evil one. So you have all these men and women together, and their hormones are stirring up, and they're looking at so-and-so, and they begin lusting after each other, etc., etc., ad nauseum, and open up the door to spirits, sexual spirits of every kind into the church. Especially if those, quote, in this building are practicing sexual indiscretions not permitted by scriptures. All right, let's look at other countries. They know this. They know this at the evangelical church in Rome. It means underground. The women are on one side. The men are on the other side. Even Paul in Corinth, the women were on one side. The men were on the other side. And they were yelling back and forth at each other. The women were to their husbands asking questions about what Paul was teaching. And Paul said, wait till you get home, then talk to your wives, to the husbands. Stop disrupting the service. Service wasn't about controlling women. It's about keeping order so we could continue to teach. And there's a place and time for everything. All right. And this is proven by, if you have a household of females, they all begin to menstruate at the same time. They all fall into line. So everybody's wackadoodle. So this is in any group. This is why... the harmonic frequencies and the indiscretion that happens in the church in the West is become off the charts. So what is the pattern that God illustrates? You have Shabbat with your family. Maybe you go to synagogue. The women are up in, and I've been to many synagogues. I've been to the King David, on King David Street, the Grand Synagogue. But you'll find this all over. The women sit upstairs or in the balconies. Or on the sides, if you look at the European synagogues, which I've seen a few, they have reproductions in the Israeli Museum, Antiquities Museum. And they are separated. They are separated by a wall and pillars. Probably they go up to about halfway to their waist, and they can see the men are in the middle. And the women surround the outsides of the galleries, where they have screens. So the men don't start lusting after them while they're supposed to be looking at the scriptures. God knows that the heart is wicked and above all else deceitful and desperately wicked. All right, Jeremiah. Okay, Jeremiah. So the pattern was as you went to synagogue. And then for the feast days, this is the big conference meeting, the men were required to go to Jerusalem for three feasts. Pesach, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Shavuot, and Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. They weren't even required to go for Yom Kippur, the 10 days of Olives, Rosh Hashanah, none of that. Because it was to be taught of the Lord, not to bring your mind out of the pastures and the agriculture in your daily lives, and to have them focus, learn to be disciplined, and to receive the instructions of God's word that you might understand what the mind of Christ is, as is laid out between the righteous and the wicked, the holy and the profane. And God is the same. He hasn't changed. I change not, says the Lord, and I'm not the son of man that I should repent, which implies that men need to repent. And that's your way out. Well, let's look at Reuben about this gerbil thing. Pardon me. The gerbils, right? Rats, mice. Oh, I guess. There's an exponential hormonal level that takes place. So have some understanding here. Reuben, the firstborn, went up into his father's concubine. Why? Because he was sexually frustrated. And they were living together. And he was not married. And he lusted after her. Okay? This is an abomination. This is forbidden. You should not uncover your father's wife, her nakedness, because it's like uncovering your father. What? Could you run that by me again? Your father's wife is your father's nakedness. It's like having incest with you. It's like having a homosexual relationship, spiritually speaking, with your father. Because you've taken his wife. Okay, 1 Corinthians 5 illustrates this. You know, Paul did say all things were permissible, but not all things are profitable. Okay, well, and that's a whole breakdown of if there's a repentance, okay? But in 1 Corinthians 5, Paul is upbraiding the church because you do things that even the pagans don't do. You have somebody in your congregation who is having an affair with his father's wife. Okay? And God says, I condemn them. I'm condemning this. I condemn this behavior. And I'm giving this man over to Satan that his soul might be saved. Okay? This is a judgment. And in the book of Revelation, teach about the church, about Balaam and Jezebel, who teach sexual immoral practices and practice them, that they're given time to repent, but then they will die, and their children will die in this deathbed with them. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 5, to deliver such as one. Okay, so I'm going to go up for verse 3. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in your spirit. Present in the spirit. Hello, I was there in the spirit, is what he is saying. Have judged already as though I were present concerning him that has done this deed. What deed is he? Verse 1 is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Okay, so Reuben was a big bad boy. And Reuben wasn't even in the church. Okay? So I've judged this already, Paul said, as though I were present concerning him that has done this deed, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of your Lord is Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Don't you know your glorying is not good? Know you not that a little bit of leaven is a whole lump? Okay, this is a huge issue. So what happened to Reuben? Well, and by the way, a lot of the Reubenites are the French. French live in France. They descended there. I mean, did the French have an issue with amour? Yeah. So here we go. What happened to Reuben? He lost his birthright and his inheritance. He lost the position of the firstborn. Bad judgment call, Reuben, for a night with your dad's concubine. Bad deal. Bad deal. Not good. Is he one of the patriarchs? Yeah. Why? It's not in scripture, but I want to suggest to you that he did repent. but he could not be restored back to the inheritance and the position of government, because God was making a statement. He's not going to marry a hoe or such as were some of you, but you have moved away from that. Mary Magdalena, oh my gosh. I'm witnessing to this occultist Satanist who's telling me that he's not an occultist and that I don't understand. He's trying to twist all my definitions, right, of the truth. I'm listening. I'm letting it open up, you know, and he's a, quote, seer. And he's not a New Ager, but his aunt trained him and she wasn't, blah, blah. Look, he's got familiar spirits. He does remote viewing and all this stuff. He's in the neighborhood, right? He's the local warlock, of which there are many. And I mean, I tell you, you know, oh, I mean, I heard it. I mean, I heard things that which blew my doors off. I don't believe a lie because I know the truth. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I went into the enemy's camp and I'm going to take back what is stolen from me. I will have it. I will. But some things are not, you know, you they're irrevocable. You can't get it back. You made some bad judgment calls, dude. And breaking covenants under God. God calls you to take account. And some of you will lose your internal inheritance. You better hope not. But may I suggest to you that Reuben repented and stopped messing around. I think it was with Bilhah. So that's one of my little addendums. There's a lot more to say on this subject because God is married to a pure and chaste virgin. And Paul said this, and I'm contending for you as such. Why are you acting like this? So the men went up to Jerusalem for the feast because we didn't want any dilly-dallying around and, you know, exchanging with, and this is part of the judgment from Jeremiah and Isaiah. You guys, you're like the Assyrians. I mean, it's pretty graphic about how big they were, you know, big, like Egypt, like in Rome, the Oblast. Those are all the male anatomy of Osiris, you know, Washington, D.C., what big, you know, male anatomies they had. And they really thought they were something. And you know what? The Israelites all went after them. And they were supposed to be serving God, and they all acted like the whores that they were. So God had to divorce them and throw them out in the wilderness and bring them to repentance so that she will say, is she not Baal? Is she my husband? Leaning on the arms of him who paid the price in blood for her. Go and sin no more, he told a woman caught in adultery. He delivered Mary Magdalene. If you have a problem with this, lust, you know, sexual indiscretions from the past, memories, go get deliverance. Fast and pray. Crucify your flesh. Give it over. Because if you don't, and you're a child of God, you will be delivered over to Satan. And many will have died young before their time because of these indiscretions. Now, breaking the laws of God. So now you know.